I left my hourglass somewhere in this building. Most of you know I have an hourglass that I keep track of my preaching time. But fortunately, this clock is down, but you won't be able to see it. But I will. And, Anne just welcomed me to her generation. I've always been in her generation, the baby boom generation, but that's 6-0, yeah, it's interesting. But I had a good week, and I was a lot, well, you know, most weeks are good. I usually have a good time with what I do. But on Tuesday, on my birthday, I had a kind of an unusual experience, and it had to do with, you know, the hourglass is sort of an old thing. Well, these are new things. And I don't like text all that much, but I use it for work and things like that. But a great thing about it is that I've gotten in contact with different people from my past. And on my birthday, a friend of mine from my lacrosse days sent a greeting that connected with a whole bunch of guys on the team. And so what happened from there was a picture of me from, I didn't even remember it being taken, from 1974 probably was sent. And the conversation just kind of exploded, not around necessarily my birthday, but because all of these different guys chimed in. And just, you know, you just think, what, you know, what, it was really great to be back in touch with these guys. And something, well, I've been in touch with some of them through the years, but one thing in particular that happened, there was a friend from the class of 76, I'm 75, that I've wondered about and thought about. I knew he worked in Boston, had a head injury a few years back, and I just got a little bit about that story and didn't know if he really recovered. Well, that friend chimed in on the message. So I was reconnected with someone from a little bit younger than me, and, you know, it's just really good to hear from those guys. And why does that relate to this? Well, I was the type of person when I was younger who would charge ahead. I was always in a rush. I was blessed with this group of friends from high school, but after high school, I went to work first and just charged ahead and didn't look back. I really didn't look back. I did that work in the restaurant business for a couple of years, left that, went to college, didn't look back. Left a lot of friends, and I don't have communication with too many of those people, a few people. I charged from there, from school, into my first church. Some things went well, some things didn't go that well, mostly because of my expectations as a young pastor was really the problem. I didn't see it then, but I see it now, and I charged out of that place. It was peaceful. There was no problems. There was no one asked me to leave, and I left. Well, Denise might dispute this. I left sort of well. You know, I didn't storm out or anything. And so from there, it was back to something I did before. It was a little bit was driving a truck. And so to make a long story short, what happens is I landed in 2002. My life, my perspective, I should say, really changed. And that was when I went around the country driving a tour bus with some people, and one of the people was the writer of the song that we'll be looking at it during the sermon, actually. And he talked, his name is Michael Card, and he talked about the music coming out of community. The music comes out of being with people. It's so important to realize that what's really important is that we are with one another and God is with us. And that profoundly struck me. And I mentioned before another time in a sermon, I think, that I was kind of a servant on that tour. I was a bus driver, so I wasn't really in the in group. Everybody was kind. Don't misunderstand me. But you could see that this really wasn't my community. And again, as I've shared before, I realized that the Western Massachusetts Christian community, kind of broadly because of my experience, was my home and was my community. And so after that time, I really changed in the sense that I was reflecting on who I'd known, who was working, who was pouring themselves into ministry. How could I come by their side and be with them and help them? And it was back to Second Baptist at first for me for about 6 more years. Working and helping to build community there. then up in Shutesbury for another 6 years, and then it was a delight to be called back here when I finished up in Shutesbury and the need arose and things made sense, as Jim Hartley put it, for me to come back here. And it's all about being in community, being with the people of God. Being with the people of God. Now, forgive me for one more personal story. Some of you folks are going to experience someday, some of you folks already have, that idea of the empty nest. The empty nest. In 2001, our son Gary graduated from college, and he moved to New Hampshire for his first job. I expected to have some grief about that in 2001. Don't tell Gary, but I didn't. I was waiting for this empty nest thing to hit, and it didn't. But there was this fact. Gary went to UMass engineering school, and the company that he worked for had a good connection with graduate school for UMass. Gary went to school, he lived at home and drove up to UMass. So I think Denise and I both kind of knew he might be back, you know? And he was. 2003, he came back, spent a year in a graduate school, an accelerated program. Young people, I don't recommend accelerated graduate programs. They can do tough things to you, but Gary made it. He made it, and at the end of 2003 or somewhere, 2004, I don't know, back then sometime, he left again. And, I didn't expect the grief. It didn't happen the first time. And it didn't hit me right away until I had a dream. One night, I was fast asleep, and I had the most vivid dream I ever had. Gary was about 7 or 8 years old, and he was saying, "Goodbye, goodbye." Vivid, vivid dream. And I woke up, and I felt the grief. This was such a vivid, and folks, parents, that age group, you go beyond it, Abe. That 7 or 8 age group, there is something inside you that you'll probably, parents, always have that age when they, before they kind of are on their own, when they're still dependent on you, but they're grown up enough to communicate with you. That was so vivid, that dream. And my heart was broken. But I think that day, that morning, when I woke up, I learned a little bit more about, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And, the original thought I had, there's a sermon I've given called Love Sent Christmas. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Love sent Christmas. So all of this puts together, I think, comes together in this one idea that I hope we can understand and come to, that love, in a very deep level, means that there is a desire to be with one another, right? A desire to be with others. A desire to be with the ones we care about. Michael Card's song that I was referring to is called Emmanuel. And I'm going to be actually, it's on the back of your bulletin. So you can look at it with me. Marvin knows the hymns really well. I kind of know some of the contemporary Christian music really well, get to know the words, really look at it. I've done some sermons on this song. Actually comes around every chance I get. I do this. It's a Christmas time thing, so I've got one other Christmas sort of song that I do this with that maybe next year. What we have is Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And if you look at the lyrics of the song and you listen and think about the lyrics that Ingrid shared or the scripture that Ingrid shared earlier, you'll find that this song is a wonderful weaving of Christmas sort of ideas and truth about who Jesus Christ is and how he cares for us. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child, and he will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." And we know that Matthew says Emmanuel means God with us. So you look at Mike's song. I can call him Mike, I met him. I even got to tell him that I really liked this song. He wasn't all that impressed that I liked it so much. He's an interesting guy. And he always would divert attention from himself and say, it's God you need to pay attention to, not me. It's an interesting thing about Mike. So anyway, I did have a chance, and it was nice to be able to tell him that this song had been an anchor for me through the years. So Emmanuel, our God is with us, begins the song, if you look at the lyrics, not the chorus, but the verse. A sign will be given, a virgin will conceive, a human baby bearing undiminished deity. How does he come up with all of that from Emmanuel, that undiminished deity? Well, look at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. This is the Christmas story, right? A sign shall be given, a virgin will conceive, from Isaiah, a human baby bearing undiminished deity. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit, through the divine Spirit of God. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. This was a more dramatic dream than mine. And said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from, again, the Holy Spirit. Stressed. This child is conceived through God. This child is begotten of God. A human baby is coming, bearing undiminished deity, right? What is conceived to her is from the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, and she gave birth to a son, or she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Jesus, which means Jehovah or Yahweh, is salvation. His name is Yahweh is salvation. God is salvation. That's Jesus' name, because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus is coming to save us from our sins. The gospel is in this little passage. Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, referencing Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, which means God with us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son to be with us, you and me. And God sent his son into a world where he was going to be mistreated, disrespected, hurt, harmed, and murdered. It was hard for me to see my son go to New Hampshire, I know, for the permanent sort of way, right? But he's only 2 hours away. We get to see him. We'll see him tomorrow. God did become reunited with Jesus again, but not until Jesus suffered and died on the cross and was mistreated and harmed here, rejected by men, another scripture tells us. Verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded and took Mary to be his wife. And when he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and they gave him the name Jesus. Yahweh, God, is our salvation. Okay. God with us, a human baby bearing undiminished deity, referring back again to Mike's song. Goes on, the glory of the nations, a light for all to see, and hope for all who will embrace his warm reality. You know, just the set to music we're going to hear in just a few minutes. But I want to again attach it to the scripture reference. Ingrid shared it before, I think is worth looking at again in Isaiah chapter 9. Where do these ideas come from? The glory of the nations. If you look at Isaiah chapter 9, we read this context where things are happening to Israel, and Isaiah is prophesying, and whether he knew it or not, he was prophesying about the coming of a Messiah, the coming kingdom of God. Isaiah chapter 9, starting at verse 1, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled, that is, God humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles. You have this sense of this growing vision that not only is God the God of Israel, but the God of the Gentiles. He will honor Galilee of the Gentiles. He sent Jesus to Galilee of the Gentiles. If that's not an honor, I don't know what is. Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea, along the Jordan. And here's the scripture. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Some of the prayers were a little gloomy today because terrible things happen in this world. But we are not without hope because we live in the land of the shadow of death. We do. There's difficulties, there's sadness, but a light has dawned. A light has dawned. And hope for all who will embrace the child with the undiminished deity. Hope for those who will embrace his warm reality. Last night, Jim preached and talked and shared about Jesus being, God's kingdom coming as being more real than what anything we've ever experienced before. And we have this opportunity to embrace God with us as reality. From there, Mike continued in the song, the refrain, Emmanuel, our God is with us, and if God is with us, who can stand against us? Ingrid read that and got hit with a shot of emotion of how important that idea is. God is with us. Who can stand against us? God is with us, Emmanuel. We already talked about the bridge of the song. Those living in the valley of the shadow of death, a glorious light is dawned. So looking at the bottom, the last verse of Mike's song, what will be your answer? A response is called for. Or will you hear the call of him who did not spare his son, but gave him for us all? On earth there is no power, there is no depth or height could ever separate us from the love of God in Christ. I just love the way Mike wove the song together. If you're a songwriter and you want to be a Christian songwriter, this is a good model to think about. How can I get God's word across through a song? And I've told you, and frankly, for me, sometimes messages come through better through song than through the spoken word. Sometimes I'd prefer to say, listen to this song, listen to that song, than give a sermon. So this morning, I just want to give one final scripture reading and then invite Julie up to sing this song for us. So the scripture is Romans. You'll see that Mike wove Isaiah, Matthew, ideas from Luke, and then finally some ideas from Romans really beautifully together in this Christmas song, Emmanuel, God with us. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Before this, Paul explains all of these different ways that God works in our life. A couple of interesting ideas. He says that the Holy Spirit has been given to us as well as conceiving Jesus. And from that Holy Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father, this desire to respond to God, to be with God in our hearts and spirit. And it says that the Spirit intercedes for us. God works with us now. More than that, if you look at verse 26, why don't we look at that? It says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with words, with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. God works with us throughout this life. Now to verse 31. What shall we say in response to these ways that God works in our lives? What can we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son. You know, you see your kids grow up and move away. But we, thankfully, probably the only people can relate to this in the closest, deepest way are those who send their kids off to war, maybe. Would have a deeper sense of what it means, what Jesus, what God did sending Jesus, giving Jesus for us all. Verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him for us all, how will not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? There's more to come, folks. Who will bring a charge against those who God has chosen? Who is he that condemns? It's Jesus Christ who died. More than that, who was raised to life and is at the right hand of God. And listen, also interceding for us. The Spirit intercedes for us, works within us. Jesus intercedes for us from the right hand of God. God is with us in different ways. So we come to verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as is written? For your sake we face death all day long, and we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. This life is tough. But who can separate us from the love of Christ in spite of the difficulties that we face in the world? Can anything? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, or any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from Christ. God is with us in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
On earth there is no power. with us.